and see extraordinary things happen in our lives because we just decided that it's not up to us, but it's up to Him. And the moment you put your faith in Him, you go from what's possible for you to what's possible to Him. And I prefer that way better. Nice to be in the world of what's possible for Him. Welcome. In the book of 1 Kings 17, there's a story of Elijah. And Elijah, the first thing we find out about this prophet is that he just shows up and he rebukes the king of Israel, Ahab. And he says, "You ugly thing." I'm paraphrasing, not actually the... He says, "You ugly thing, you're messing this nation up. And because of your sin, it's not going to rain again because I've prayed and it's not going to rain until you repent." And that's his whole statement. And it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And so the king gives him a nickname. He's called the Troubler of Israel. And Elijah walks out of the king's presence and he goes, "Okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go and prophesy over nations? Do you want me to go and raise up a company of prophets? Do you want me to set kings in place?" And the Lord says, "No, no, what I want you to do is go to the Cherith Rabin. It's a little place on the edge of Israel, a very dry place." And he said, there's a little brook there that runs, and I want you to stay there. "Yeah, but Lord, there's important people there, right? I can share." He goes, no, just you. "Just how long?" "Just until I tell you." "Okay, but Lord, what am I going to eat?" He says, "I've commanded the ravens to bring you food." "Okay, but Lord, you were the one who said ravens are unclean birds, and we're not supposed to have anything to do with them." So Elijah spends, let's say, half of 3.5 years, at least 1,000 meals, are being brought to him by unclean birds that he's not allowed to eat from. See, a little while later, the Lord is going to require him to stand on Mount Carmel and to pray the destruction of drought, and to call down rain from heaven, and to break the poverty that has now gripped the nation. A little while later, he's going to have to be the guy that breaks this cycle of sin that has set in. He is going to have to be the guy who kills 850 of the biggest prophets of Baal so that the nation can be released from the grip that sin has on it. He is going to be the guy who has to bring the breakthrough. But before he can stand on Mount Carmel, he has to sit at the brook Cherith and eat what ravens bring him. Sometimes, before we can walk into the destiny that God has for us, there are places of obedience that God requires us. And if you can't make it in the place of obscure obedience, you'll never make it in the bright light of the spotlight when God calls you to stand in all that He planned for you. We come to this place in our finances where we all want to stand up and see the grand miracles of finance, but not many of us enjoy being provided for by unclean animals. Don't like this job. Don't like this boss. He's a raven. And when the brook dries up, because Elijah's sitting there every day and he's waiting for the ravens. "I'm a little hungry. Where are the ravens?" And then the brook dries up. And he says, "Lord, what now?" And the Lord says, "Quickly, immediately, go to Zarephath. There's a widow there that I've commanded." He goes, "But Lord," "a point of order, Mr. Chairman. That's a Gentile. That's an unclean person. I'm not supposed to, I'm ceremonially unclean if I eat with her." "Yep." Before you can stand in all that God has for you, there are some moments of obedience in secret places. Before you can stand in nobility, there's some ignoble places. Before we get to have all the fun and the beauty of all the call of God, there are secret places of giving and receiving. There's hard work, there's obedience, there's hanging into a post when when it feels like you're the only one in the arena. Am I talking to anybody yet? Sometimes when it comes to our finances and our provision, we want the miraculous thing. Lord, give it to me. I want to sow this money and then boom, see. And I find that it's more like Ecclesiastes. If you keep casting your bread on the waters, if you keep doing what is right, if you keep walking in integrity with your finances, then after a while, it comes back to you on every wave. Just the favor and the blessing and the provisions of God start to flow into your life, and you get to a stage where you semi-embarrassed by how much is coming at you. Before you stand on Carmel, you're probably going to sit next to a brook and have to deal with your raven boss. I know that's not great news, but the way you deal with the ravens will help you stand on Mount Carmel. Father, we trust you that you would make us men and women of grand repute. We would bear your name into the marketplace with great dignity and honor. And Father, give us patience and understanding. Make us to be, Lord, employee of the month and of the year, wherever we work. Cause us, Lord, to know the daily provisions that are just as miraculous as the supernatural abundance that comes on Carmel. Teach us, Lord, the faithfulness of the daily. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. I invite you to give as you feel led by the Lord to do so. It's really good to have you in church, and thanks for being with us today. We're looking forward to an interesting December. There's a couple of things coming up. You'll get more detail on that. But Christmas Eve, that Sunday the 24th, we're not going to have a morning service. We're going to postpone that. We're going to cancel that. We're going to push it to the evening. We're going to have the Christmas Eve service here. Invite your friends. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful service that. And we're trusting God for blessing and breakthrough. I have a message on my heart this morning that is not really part of a series or doesn't have any connection to anything else. But as I was thinking about it and praying about it, I realized that this was something on the heart of God. I want to just take a moment and say thank you to Michelle for last week. I feel like that was a word for us as a church, that it is our calling, it is a mandate on us to go and restore the bride. And that means proclaiming to her the truth about who King is, and it's ours to restore her. We've always been an oasis, and we'll continue to be an oasis in the Spirit. But there's a call to a clarity and to a boldness to go and rescue the bride. Some of the bride who already know they're part of the bride, and some of them are not yet part of the bride. And it's ours to go and restore her. But I appreciated the word, and it's going to be something of what we build in to the way we view things in the future. Today's sermon is called, I Wish You Laughter. I Wish You Laughter. Laughter is the cheapest of medicines and the most powerful of weapons. Mark Twain said, against laughter, against the assault of laughter, nothing can stand. It's a force for democracy because it makes us all equal. And it has no foreign accent. It's music to our ears. It's a contagious solace. It's a wonderful break. It's a stress reliever. It may not solve our problems, but it can dissolve them. And one of the great legacies of legalism in the church is that it has removed laughter from the people of God. I think it's a direct test to see how people are free and how much grace is in their life by how often they laugh, how often they give praise, how often they say thank you to Jesus for what you're doing in our lives. If there's shiny eyes and laughter in a church, it's got to do with the produce of grace and faith. The less laughter, the more people sit scared that God is going to get them. There's no laughter. And it's one of the great tragedies of the legacy of legalism. It has robbed laughter from the church. Now, too often, the church has looked like the losing team walking off the field after a great disappointment while our opponents laugh and jump about. But God is bringing back laughter to his people. So I wish you laughter. I want to show you just a little video, if I can brag on my granddaughter. She just discovered her own shadow in this. So let me show you this video. She doesn't have words yet. But when you hear that, everybody wants to laugh. There's no foreign accent with laughter. Every single one of us knows the sheer joy of that moment. Secretly, most of us long for the freedom of that. I want to go back there where I can just laugh at my own shadow. In discovery. I think there are four laughs that I wish on you. There's some laughter that I just came across these in the scriptures, and it began to stir in me this message. And I want to just preach to you four different laughs, the laughter that I think the Lord wants to bestow on us. And the first laugh is what I call God's response to rebels. God's response to rebels. Let's go to Psalm 2. It says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles.' And the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." Let's talk a little bit about the God who loves people deeply and yet laughs at the plans of rebels. Rulers who assume that they are not subject to rule. Lawmakers unwilling to bow to his law. Masters who refuse to be his servants. There is a laugh in heaven against these rebels. Heaven laughs, and it is time for the people of God to be still enough to hear the laughter of God. I think it's the soundtrack of heaven, the laughing God, the chuckle of God against rebels. Psalm 37 says, "The wicked plot against the righteous, and they gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked. For he knows their day is coming." It's like you're standing and the sun is setting and you've got the garden hose and you're watering the plants and you go and you spray towards the sun and the sun goes down. You go, "Look what I did. Put the sun out." It's got that feeling to it. The wicked will rage against God, but they have about as much impact on the plans and the purposes and the things that God is executing on the earth as my little hose is putting the sun down. "Look what I did." No, you didn't do anything. Your little action didn't produce anything. There are plans and forces at work in the universe far larger and more significant than the efforts that any rebel can change. God is about his business. And the Bible says when they do all of this stuff, he literally gets a chuckle out of it. He's like, "Seriously? It's just the soundtrack of heaven." And you know, some of us, some of you, some of in this meeting, need to hear the laugh of God in your spirit. Because some of us are taking what opposes us way too seriously. We're giving them way too much authority. Some of us need to just tune into the soundtrack of heaven and go, Psalm 59. They return at evening, snarling like dogs that prowl the city. See what they spew from their mouths. The words from their lips are sharp as swords, and they think, who can hear us? But you laugh at them, Lord. You scoff at all those nations. We could go on about the laughter of God against people who try and resist his will. We're talking about the God who used the enemy's plan to crucify the Son of God as exactly the mechanism that he wanted. He led the enemy exactly to the place so that he would nail the Son of God to the cross to execute the perfect plan of God. We're talking about that God who catches the wise in their craftiness. That God who takes any weapon formed against us and uses it to benefit us. Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you. The enemy launches an arrow at you. Go, oh, that's helpful. Thank you. I'm going to work this so that it works out for your good. I'm talking about that God. And sometimes we lose sight, or rather we don't hear the laugh of our Father about our enemies. And I know it's helpful to know that laughter about those who oppose you and those who oppose him. Because their greatest efforts and their major offenses are just really minor exchanges. Temporary victories at best. They have no power to change anything at all about God's final picture. So I wish you the laughter of God against your adversaries. May it permeate your hearing. May it soak into your spirit so that you can never again look at the foes that stand against you with quite the same amount of respect. I wish you the laughter of God. Next time you look at your enemies, I want you to hear the Almighty laughing. God's laughter strips bare the aura surrounding our foes. You say, but Greg, don't you realize what they can do to you? These are powerful people. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying. I was hearing somebody laughing. Can you say that a little louder? Because I couldn't hear. I just heard laughter. Hilarious laughter. I said, these are very dangerous people. Yeah, it just got louder. There's something about telephones going on in this area that it's like happening today. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus said, come on, guys, let's get our priorities straight. You guys are running around fearing all the people around you, all the important people, all the people who have political clout or sway or finance. Watch out for those are dangerous people. I'm going, no. Jesus said, no, you must get this priority straight. Learn who you should fear. Get that right in your heart. It's right to fear. It's right to fear the Lord. It's right to give awe and respect and honor to the Lord. It's not right to give it to his enemies. Because the Lord laughs at his enemies. Seriously. I mean, the Lord literally laughs. That's what the Bible says. He laughs at them. The enemy goes, whoa. The Lord just laughs at him. How unmanning is that? I wish you the laughter of God against your adversaries, and I wish it rings in your ears and in your spirit, and I pray he tunes your ears to his laughter, and that his laughter will bring deliverance to your soul. The second laugh that I hope you have is the laughter of restored fortune. Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion or turned again the captivity of his people, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues were songs of joy. And it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the desert. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
when the Lord restores your fortunes, whether from great pain or disappointment or crushing tyranny or great bondage, he can turn it around. When he turned again our captivity. Some people here today need to know the laughter of God restored fortune. Not the fortune that was restored by my great effort or by my clever plans, but God restored fortune. God can give you the ideas, and if you're obeying him, then as we heard the testimony this morning, that's beautiful. What I'm talking about is the fortune that God restores. He turns the tide. He changes the season. He creates a different opportunity, a new paradigm, a brand new future for you. And this is different to the favor that people within the prison, through their gifting and hard work, have been able to secure for themselves. This is the most prized position in the prison. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, because that's what Joseph earned. Everywhere he just kept rising to the top, but he was the best prisoner. He was the prisoner who looked after all the other prisoners, but he was still a prisoner. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the Lord turned again his fortune and he went from the prison and he stopped off for a shave and then he became the right-hand man with all the authority of the nation. When the Lord restores your fortunes, when he turned again the captivity, when he changed the season on you. He says, and when the Lord did that, I think Joseph came out and just laughed out loud. I wish you the laughter of restored fortune. God restored fortune brings great delight and laughter. And I want to say to everybody here today, this is the opportunity and the calling that you have received to share this hope. And it's a great prayer to pray. Fill my mouth with laughter, Lord. Give me again a restored hope. Turn again, Lord, my captivity, because ours is a God who restores. The Bible says he restores our soul. Psalm 23 says he restores my soul. He restores our health. And Psalm 41 says he restores them from the bed of illness. He restores his people. And Psalm 53 says when God restores his captive people, he restores our joy. Psalm 51, restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. He restores our fortunes. And there's Psalm 85, 126, Jeremiah 30. He says, you restored the fortunes of Jacob, O Lord. He restores our ruins. Who says, Isaiah 40 says, who says of their ruins, I will restore you. Our land. Isaiah 49, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritance. Some people sitting here and you need God to restore to you the joy of your salvation. You need God to restore your fortune. He restores our comfort. Isaiah 57 says, restore comfort to Israel's mourners. He restores our walk with them. I love this Lamentations verse. He says, restore us to yourself, Lord. That's what that verse says. God restores stuff. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a passion. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's a relationship you need restored. And you may feel like you're in captivity now, but when the Lord restores it and he turns it around and turns it again, you'll find that you're in a very, very different place. You know the saying, I took a turn for the worse. Well, God can turn it again and you take a turn for the best. I don't know what happened. I took a turn for the best. Now best is happening to me all the time. I took a turn for the best. I get the best seats. I get the best favor. I get the best peace. I get the best provision. I get the best opportunities. The Lord turned it again. I took a turn for the worst, and he turned it again. Now I took a turn for the best. Wow, this is nice. Restore again, Lord, our fortunes. Because when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, their mouths are filled with laughter. I wish for you the laughter of a restored future. You laugh out loud. This is my life. This is my life. Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, there's something about watching all the shows on TV where they got singers, and you know the person who comes up and they first go, you look at them and you go, there's nothing here. And then they open their mouths and then they sing. And then suddenly everybody realizes, where have you been? This is beautiful. And then they make their way. I'm a sucker for all of that. I really am. I'm like a sucker for that stuff. Because something in my spirit just knows exactly. Here is somebody who has been longing and waiting and hoping, and they found a moment where the Lord turns it again. And they walk into their destiny, and they walk into a different life, and behold, everything becomes new. And there's something intuitive in the heart of the church that knows we serve a God who can turn it again. He can restore your fortunes. We're not hopeless like people who have no God. Our God is a restorer. And if you keep praying and you keep trusting and say, God, I'm trusting you. Restore it, Lord. Turn again this captivity. That he's a God who can answer that prayer, and he can do it in a day. A longing fulfilled is a sweet to the soul. So you have a longing fulfilled. It's like a sweetness to your soul. And you just laugh out loud. When the Lord turned again our fortunes, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. If this laughter should be anywhere in the world, it should be in the church. The church should introduce this laugh to the world. What are you laughing at? Let me tell you my story. I wish you the laughter of a restored fortune. I want to inspire you to a renewed expectation of a restored fortune. God can do it in a day. Greg, this is reckless, because if you tell this to people, they're going to get their hopes up. And then they're going to get their hopes dashed. You unbelieving thing, you. Tell the church, see, your king is coming. And his reward is with him. Fill my mouth with the laughter of restored fortune. I wish you the laughter of restored fortune. The longing fulfilled that makes you laugh out loud. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I pray that the Lord fills your mouth with laughter, and that this laughter is the seal of the promises that he made to you. Some people have been standing on the promises and fighting off the vultures and waiting. And you've been waiting all day, and the sun is setting. And it feels like God said he's going to do it today, but he said he's going to make a covenant with me, but here I am. I've done my bit, and I'm fighting for it, and I've chased off all the vultures, and the sun is setting, and God hasn't shown up. And as the sun sets, he puts you into sleep, and then he begins to talk to you about all the dreams that he has for you. I wish you the laughter of a restored fortune that is the seal of all the promises. Some of you have been standing on the promises for a long time, and when God turns again your captivity, I hope you laugh out loud for a long time. And just like in that video, laughter is infectious. And I hope that your victory infects us all. And we become the church that laughs all the time. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. The third laugh that I wish you is the laugh that comes with answered prayer. John 16, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy will be made full. I wish you the laughter of answered prayer. The sheer joy at being in a relationship with God where you are moved by his requests and he is moved by yours. I pray that even the promise of the answer inspires you to laugh at its prospect. In Genesis 21, the Lord says to Abraham, I will bless her, he's talking about Sarah, and will surely give you a son by her. At this age, she's 99. I will bless her, he's 99, she's 89, so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? That's an interesting laugh. A little while later, the Lord shows up again, and Sarah, as you remember the story, the Lord says, I'm going to give Sarah, and she's listening at the tent. She's listening, and she hears him say, by this time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby. And she laughs. And the Lord says, why did you laugh? But Sarah's embarrassed, and so she says, I didn't laugh. He goes, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. How come Abraham never got a rebuke? But Sarah did. Abraham laughed at the sheer thought of the joy of having a son through Sarah. He didn't laugh in unbelief. He just laughed, that laugh out loud. I'm going to have a son. But I mean, this is ridiculous. It's never been heard of on the earth. A son being born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old wife. And Sarah, I think, was the first time Sarah heard it. I think because Abraham didn't tell her the ugly thing. I think the first time Sarah heard it was when she was listening at the tent. I don't think Abraham went home and said, listen, let me tell you what the Lord said about you. And then Isaac comes. In Genesis 21:3, Abraham gave him the name Isaac, which means he laughs, or laughter, to the son that Sarah bore him. And Sarah said, God has brought me to laughter, and everybody who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in old age. I wish you the laughter of answered prayers. That everybody who hears about your answer will laugh with you. May you also be given the name laughter. I wish you the laughter of answered prayer. That your joy may be full, Jesus said. Somehow it's got into the church that it's a noble thing not to have any of your prayers answered. That it's the right thing. That it's God's will. It's not what Jesus said. It doesn't matter that you laughed in doubt when you first heard about what God wanted to do for you. It isn't important for me that every moment since you prayed the prayer, you've been completely settled about it. What is important is that now you renew your faith and you ask again boldly. But you go, Lord, sorry, a moment of weakness there, but actually I'm still, you remember that prayer I asked? I'm still on that. Yeah, no, I'm up. I'm back. I've got a little weak knee there for a moment, but I'm back. And by the way, I still want that, Father, because I know that you're still faithful and I haven't seen it yet, but you know what? I know who you are. So yeah, I'm back and I'm asking for that thing again. One more time. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name. Some people in here need to hear that. I wish you the laughter that accompanies your answered prayer. I say praise God often around this church. People tease me about it, quite honestly. Because whenever I hear a story about how God has done something, there's been a breakthrough, there's been a release of the power of God, or something has changed in people's lives, it comes out of my mouth. I go, praise God. And I'm not faking it. I'm telling you, it really comes out of my spirit. Praise God. Because every time I hear a testimony, every time, it's one more nail in the coffin of unbelief, one more declaration that God is faithful and alive and well. It's one more testimony about what lies ahead. Every time I hear one of your stories, every time God breaks through, every moment where I see the power of God, I'm saying, do it again, Lord. Because I want this place flooded with the laughter of answered prayers. Laughing out loud. I wish you laughter. Now, I pray that you'd find the courage in prayer to ask boldly and consistently for what you do not yet see. Because if you only asked for what you could see right now, or what you thought was possible, that's too weak a prayer. It's not honoring to God if you can only ask what you can accomplish. God, you don't need a God who can do only what you can do. You do what you can do. Ask him to do what he can do. And I pray that you find courage to ask boldly and consistently from what you do not yet see, knowing that the current absence of the answer is only a temporary thing. I pray for you the laughter of answered prayer, the testimony of a living faith. The fourth laugh is what I call the view of the diligent. It's a great scripture in Proverbs 31 about the noble woman, and says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days that are to come. The Proverbs 31 woman is pretty amazing, let's face it. She's the superwoman that everybody kind of tries to shoot for, right? She's a great homemaker. She's a sharp businesswoman. She's a champion of the needy. She's a beloved wife. She's an honored mother. She's a respected community leader. There's nothing this woman doesn't seem to be able to pull off. And the Bible says she laughs at the days to come. When she looks into the future, she just laughs out loud. I wish you that laughter. But Greg, I'm not all of those things. I'm okay in a few areas, but I'm not perfect. Are you saying that this is the laughter of perfect people? No. No, this is diligent wisdom in female form. That's all that is. It's just somebody who works hard and who listens to God. She works hard and she gets wisdom from God. Works hard, gets wisdom from God. And you keep doing that on a life well lived. You keep working hard and listen to God. And when you look to your future, you begin to laugh out loud. So many people in this life, when they look to the future, they want to burst into tears. Because they know, that's not the future I had planned. I feel like I have diminishing resources and strength, and that looks like it's a harder trail. The road looks like it goes up, and I'm feeling more tired than I ever have. Many people, when they look to the future, there's not a laughter in their step. There's not a joy in their spirit, but I wish you the laughter of the diligent wisdom. She works hard, and she works wisely, and so she's clothed with strength and dignity. And there are people here today who need to hear that the commendation for your years of hard work have brought dignity and strength to you. The years ahead loom larger the closer they get. When you're 20, you can't imagine retirement. It's like hundreds of years away. But those who work hard and go to God for wisdom, the more you do that, the more you begin to laugh as you look forward. I pray for you that you'd know the laughter of the diligent and wise. I pray that God pour out his wisdom on you and direct you on the path of wise people, and that he'd put people into your life who can counsel you. Some people in this meeting, I really felt like this. I feel like this wasn't in the original planning. But I felt like the Lord woke me up 2:30 this morning. 2:30 to 4:30 this morning. That's where this came from. I felt like the Lord said, I want you to add this to the pile. I said, certainly, sir. Some people in this meeting, I feel like the Lord's going to send you counselors. God-sent people who are going to come into your life and just be able to stand next to you and give you some wisdom, some advice, some counsel that'll help you and redirect you onto a path that will fill your mouth with laughter. I think there are some people in this room that God has a determination that he wants to shake you out of where you thought your path was going. There's some changes coming. There's some people are going to get into refinement in this meeting. I pray God prosper the work of your hands. And I pray that God's favor manifests to your benefit. I wish you the laughter of the diligent as they look at the future. And I pray that you see the Lord break through in your life and prepare a way for you. I pray for laughter whenever you look forwards, because you see a loving Father waiting with open arms. Let me close with this. I'm going to close in a little while and we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite you, if your knees have been weak and your hands have lost their grip, I'm going to invite you in the presence of the church that together we stand up and take a fresh grip on our King. And you strengthen your knees and say, God, fill our mouths with laughter. And I don't know which of those four were applicable to you, but I'm pretty sure somewhere in one of those, there's something for you. Maybe all four. I'm open to all four. I'm saying, Lord, fill my mouth with laughter. I wish you laughter. And I pray that this church would be filled with it. So in just a little while, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team if you'd come up, please, and just add some music to us. But I want you to trust God for his laughter, the deliverance of your soul. Some people here, when you hear God laughing at your enemy, he's going to deliver you from your fears. The laughter of a restored fortune, it'll be the seal of his promises to you. There is a day coming when every word of the Lord over your life will be proven true. The seal of the promise, the restoration, the turning again of our captivity. The laughter of answered prayers. I wish you laughter. I wish you thousands and thousands of days full of laughing. Because we prayed for that one too, and then it came. And I pray you, the laughter of the diligent future, filled with a loving Father and open arms. And the Bible says in Acts 13, no one dared join themselves to the church. People were scared to get in the presence of the church. Because when the church came together, something began to take place. There was something among them. And this is what Jesus said, when two or three of you will come together in my name, there I'll be among you. See, when the church came together in unity, miracles happened and broke out among them with regularity. Ananias and Sapphira, who had lied, dropped dead. Things happened when the church came together. The Bible says, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you if you believed in Jesus. He never leaves you. He's one with you. He doesn't come and go. He's in you. And you can walk out into a week and be led by the Spirit of God. And Scripture says in 1 John that the anointing that he's given you will teach you about all things. And you don't need anybody to teach you. You just listen to the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You're one with him. You can listen and talk to him at any time of any day, anywhere. You don't need an environment. You don't need worship going in the background. You can just be with our King. He'll be in you, Jesus said. But Jesus also said, he'd be among you. Something happens when the church of Jesus Christ comes together in his name. Because there Jesus said, I'll be among you. And when we as a church begin to understand that, and we begin to just be a little aware of the presence of God among us, what starts to happen is the sense of his presence, the weight of his glory can sometimes be made manifest in an increasing manner in the service. And so I'm trusting that that weight of glory that resides when we come together in his name and in focus would break out into your circumstances. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. And I'm not going to ask us all to stand because I'm assuming that we all would anyway. But I'm going to ask you to just sit there while you are. Just turn your heart and your eyes to the Lord. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask the Lord to fill your mouth with laughter. I'm going to ask him to open your ears to hear him laughing at your enemy. I'm going to ask him to restore your fortune. I'm going to ask him to answer your prayers. I'm going to ask him to show you what diligent wisdom looks like in your circumstances. And because we're together in this, because we're in agreement, the glory of God that dwells in the tabernacle is released into your life. Father, we come. And my cry is, Father, would you fill our mouths with laughter? Would you fill our ears, Lord, with the laugh of heaven, the soundtrack of heaven, Lord? You chuckling at your enemies. You laughing out loud at the sheer audacity, the complete blindness of your enemies that they could even think that their little efforts have impact. I'm asking, Father, by revelation, that many of us would hear that laughter. Father, I call on you for the laughter of restored fortune. Then were our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongue with songs of joy. And it was said of us among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the desert, the supernatural abundance of God. Give us, Father, the laughter of answered prayers. Even those, Lord, we've prayed many, many times. Fill our mouths with laughter, Father, in Jesus' name and for his glory. And Lord, for those who need to be able to look at the future and laugh, I ask, Lord, for counselors and opportunities and supernatural provisions and a way to be made, Lord, for us. That as we look to the future, Lord, there'd be clarity and hope and an abundance of joy and peace. And that, Father, as we look, we would see your open arms and smiling face. I wish your people laughter, Lord. And I ask for it in Jesus' name. Fill our mouths with laughter, Lord.